While you stand with me, praise God. Take your Bibles with you. Open with me to the book of Job. Praise the Lord. Book of Job, chapter 23. Job 23, we'll begin at verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. If you will turn with me now to Psalm 139, verse 1 to 12. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from the Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from you, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Lord Jesus, we just pray that you would just speak to us through your word tonight. Help us to grasp what you would have to say to us. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a seat. Tonight I want to speak on this thought, revealed in the blind side. Revealed in the blind side. The online free dictionary, you know, they always say if you need to find out something, just Google it. Well, it's true. No, not entirely, okay. If you need to know, that's where you'll find this blind side. The side on which one's vision, especially the peripheral vision, is limited or obstructed. The side away from which one is directing one's attention. Most simple example I can give you would be to hold my finger up here and then I look straight ahead, and you'll find doctors do this when you have an examination. And they say, tell me when my finger disappears. And they have a certain point at which they know your sight's okay. And right now I can't see my finger and it's gone into the peripheral. I know it's there. If I look at it, oh, yeah, there you go, it's there. That's the blind side. It's that point at which you cannot see it. Okay? And so the idea, and we've heard it, the idea of blindsiding somebody. Who's heard of the term blindsided? We should have. It's really a surprise factor. More often than not, you hear this term, I did not see it coming. The different sport, they can use this tactic in order to gain an advantage. And in war, it's a tactical advantage when you have to when you know or find the weakness of your enemy, described as a blind spot. But in terms of a spiritual walk, I tend to believe our blind spot is one of ignorance and misunderstanding. I really do. The blind spot becomes more prevalent when we're under duress, strain, pressure, whatever you would like to call it. It becomes more noticeable. And as we read from the opening scripture of Job tonight, we realize that Job was in a situation completely, and I say completely, out of his control. In fact, he was in the complete domain of Lucifer. As God had instructed Lucifer that he could touch everything about Job, even Job himself, but he wasn't allowed to take his life. He said, you can do everything to Job, inflict him, but you're not allowed to take his life. And then I will show you that Job is an upright man and he will not curse me. And so at this command, Satan went out, and that's what he did. He destroyed everything that Job ever had, his family, his possessions, his livelihood. He destroyed it all, and then he afflicted Job as well. And it was said that he was covered in boils from head to toe. He was a sight for sore eyes. And even then, his wife turns around and says to him, curse God and die. But Job, you know what he did? And I love this about Job. Before everything happened to him, he worshipped the Lord. And then after everything had happened to him, you know what he did? He worshipped the Lord. There was nothing that could stop him from doing the one thing that was most important to him, and that was worshipping God. He was determined to keep his relationship where it mattered most, at the forefront. But to help us understand, he was still human. He was still fallible. He still had shortcomings and weaknesses, very much like us. And so Job, through his time of his affliction, was confused. Rightly so. I would be too. Hey, I've had all of this and then it's all gone. And so Job, he's probing, he's trying to find some answers to why everything has happened to him up until this point. And so midway through it all, he's finding things a little tough. Who finds things tough in the middle of a trial? Who does? We all do. We all find things difficult. And he's trying to reason it out, to make sense of it all. And it was like he was in the dark without a light, without a guide, unsure of what the terrain is like under his feet. And his so-called friends weren't much help. You know, they just berated him the whole time, saying, you're in this mess because you did a sin. He did nothing wrong. And so we picked up the scripture in Job 23. And I'm going to read it again. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left am where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And he says at the start of that scripture, behold, I go forward, and he is not there. Many things happen in front of us, and we agree. It is where we gain the most information, insight, and understanding about who we are in life in general. It is the most obvious area directly in front of us. The area of consequence. It tells us whether to proceed or not. You know, if you see a big red sign saying, stop, Do you keep going ahead? Of course not. It's obvious. It's there. It's flashing in front of you. Or you see, you're sorry, wrong way, go back. I often wonder about that, what would happen if I drove up that way. But I haven't done it yet, praise God. But we just don't do it, do we? We stop. We go, okay, I'm going to do what's obvious to us. And Job, he was looking in the obvious place, ahead, in front, trying to see something that he could reason out. And it tells us many factors about safety, dialogue, where to go, the next step, so to speak. But Job was looking ahead. He was looking forward. He was trying to see something as plain as day, believing that God was right there in plain sight. But you know, God wasn't. He couldn't see him. And then he says, and backward. I look forward, okay, there's nothing there. Now I'm going to look backwards. Did he see anything? And the second obvious place is to turn around. Just to make sure we haven't missed anything. Cover our tracks, so to speak. You know, to find, go back to the grassroots. There's nothing wrong with going back to principles. And Job tried. And he may have even stumbled at his tried. But still Job could not see God. It appears God was nowhere to be found in the obvious. In the obvious. And so he eliminates the front and the back. And so what does he do next? He says, I look on the left hand. And so he takes a look on the left hand where he does work. Job knows God is at work. And so he looks there. His previous experiences have told him that God works. And it says that he couldn't find him. And perhaps Job must have thought he'd missed a mark somewhere. He'd missed out on something with God. He was struggling to make it through. He needed some assurance. And I want assurance. I do when I'm struggling. I want to know that I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right thing. I'm going places with Jesus. But it says he still could not see God. And you know something? It said that he hit himself on the right hand. And it says he couldn't see God on the right hand. And we know the scripture tells us that the right hand is always denoted as power. The right hand of God, the right hand of strength, the right hand is denoted as God's presence. And so he was looking in the place of strength. He was trying to cope or reach for something that he could get a grasp on through his affliction. But he was not to be seen. And so Job begins to think obvious things to himself. He's making an assumption that God is hiding himself and could not be found. Simply because when he looked on the right hand and he's looked in front and he's looked behind and he's looked to his left, that God was not there. Remember, this is the man who had lost everything. He was desperate to find some answers and he knew God was the one with them. And believe me, this man lived in a time when the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out. He didn't have the backing of the Word of God. He didn't have the Scriptures to go back to, the Bible to look into and say, hey, look, David went through something like this. You know, hey, look what Paul did. He didn't have any of that. He was living the moment. He was fulfilling the Scripture as it was being penned about this man's life. Job was stubborn. I'll give you credit, give him credit for that. He was stubborn. And there's nothing wrong with stubbornness as long as it's for God. I know Kylie tells me, you're so stubborn. But my stubbornness, I'd rather have it for Jesus. And yeah, there's some improvements I've got to make there. But praise God, Job was resolute, wasn't he? He was resolute. He was sure. He understood from prior experiences that there was more to God than our happenings. And we've heard the pastor preach on this a number of times. Our happenings, our situations. And you know, Job then makes an astounding, undeterred statement of faith. But he knoweth the way that I take. He knows the way that I take. Job was in effect saying, okay, God. Because it feels to me, you know where to be found. And he's saying, well, God, it feels to me that you'll know where to be found, actually. It doesn't matter what I do or how I go about trying to change my current circumstance happening. I seem unable to find you. But you know what? You know what's going on regardless of whether I can see you or not. God knows what we're going through. It's not a surprise to him. You know, I've said this before. It's not a surprise, Morty, that you turned up tonight to God. God didn't just happen to walk in. Oh, Morty, how are you? He wasn't surprised to see you. So anything that's going on with us is not a surprise to God. He knows everything. He knows our down-sitting, our uprising. He knows what's going on in this very moment of life. So Job, he had to keep walking. He had to keep one foot in front of the other and believe that when he came out of this, and he had no guarantee of that. Like I said, he didn't know when this was going to end. This was in the midst of his affliction. He had no idea that this was going to end anytime soon. That God knew what he was doing. And that's the assurance that Job had, that God knows what he is doing. And like I said he knows my down-sitting. He knows my uprising. He understands my thoughts are far off. He's compassed my path and my lying down. He's acquainted with all of my ways. He knows what I'm going to say before I even speak it. He's beset behind and before. He lays his hand upon me. If I ascend into heaven, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, he is there to lead me and hold me. Even if the darkness covers me, the night shall be light about me. That was the psalm that we read. Job was not content. You know, I find it frustrating, and even with myself here, that when we get stuck in something, we learn to become content with it. I don't get it. We struggle and finally we go, oh, whatever. It's a point that we should never come to. Because God's trying to do something. He's at work in our lives, trying to shape us into something beautiful. And you know, you can't be molded and shaped and chipped away at without tools, without devices. And you know, God will use other people. He will use circumstances. He will allow things to happen for our benefit. And so just because you go, oh, whatever, it doesn't fix things. It doesn't change things. And we should have this mentality of Job. He knows the way. All I've got to do is hold on to his hand. If I can't see what's going on, if I can't see what lies ahead, just reach out and hold the hand of Jesus. Because we were never meant to do this alone. And so even though in Job's immediate sight spectrum, he could not see God, and he couldn't, he had faith to believe that God operated out of the spectrum of direct sight. Outside the obvious, outside of human reasoning, and operated in the realms of the supernatural. It didn't matter where he was. It didn't matter what was happening. Job says, he knows my way. You know, what faith. What spectacular testimony to have. What a powerful revelation. God revealed himself to Job in the blind side. In the side, in the place where he could not be seen. He was about to hit Job with a mighty surprise, which was going to surpass everything that Job had experienced. And Job says this, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew there was going to come a day when all of what he was going through would come to an end. He knew about the seasons of life. He knew that some come for short terms and some for longer terms. He knew that the particular moment in his life, he was in a season of crisis. And yeah, he was. He was having a crisis moment. Everything gone. Unprecedented by anything he had ever experienced before. But yet, he had the gumption, that stubborn streak, to know the God of the supernatural was at work, doing things where he could not see. He believed he was going to come out of it better than his beginning. When I come out of this, I'm going to be pure as gold. And Job was a man on a mission. And I say this because you read through the book of Job and you tell me, and you can come up to me after church if you want, you can tell me where Job threw it all in, threw the towel in, shook his fist at God and cursed him. You try and show me that in the book of Job. You know, you try and show me a scripture in Job where he says, look, God, look what you have done. And I can assure you, you will find no such scripture in the book of Job. Because Job didn't do it. I don't find anywhere where he cursed God. But I can find in that book a man who maintains his integrity. He maintains his upright attitude. He maintains an ingrained sense of survival, knowing that God is at work in his life. I can't see what's going on in front of me all the time. I can't see what's going on behind me. Nor can I see what's happening on the left or the right. But all I can do is trust in the name of Jesus and trust that God is at work in my life, shaping me, molding me, making me into something more spectacular, something that he can use for his purpose, something for his glory. So don't throw the towel in. Don't turn your back on God. Don't run away thinking there's some other way out. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to his grace, his love. And Paul, he summed it up in the book of Acts. In Acts 17:26, he said, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He tells us we should seek the Lord and feel after him and desire him and long for his presence. because he is not far from any one of us. Are you bruised here tonight? Are you feeling the twinges of enduring pain? Do you feel alone with your struggle in this life? Do you feel your expectations have been dropped? You know, like fine china on a floor, it just smashes everywhere. Does it feel like every time you say a prayer, it seems like it's just bouncing off the ceiling? And you know, do you ask yourself this question? When and where will this end? And that leads to that ultimate question. God, where are you in all of this? Where are you in all of this? And I'm going to be honest with you, and it wouldn't be any other way. I'm coming through one of the longest seasons in my life. When it comes to 12 years, you sometimes have to wonder. And you know, I'm ashamed to say it, that at times in my walk there, I've had to say, God, where are you in all of this? Some say, well, I've gone through a season. I say, yeah, well, some of us go through it longer than others. But you know, I'm still here. I'm still standing on God's promises. I'm still believing that everything is all right in the end. And I know that God will shine forth in this life. And you know, sometimes, saints of God, seasons in life will last. And you know, if God keeps me in this season for another 10 years, praise God. It'll be moments for me to shape and to feel the presence of God even more, to seek after him even more, to desire him more. Because I don't want to come out of this season at the end of it and turn my back on God. I don't want to leave the presence of God if that's what's going to happen. Lord, keep me in the season of my life so that I can learn to pray, that I can learn to seek your face, that I can learn to strive for the mastery of the presence of God. Lord Jesus, don't ever let me fall out of the shaping of your hands. Let me be shaped with the tools. I don't care what you use, God. I don't care how much you want to shape me, Lord. But please don't let go of me. Please don't let go of me, God. We need Jesus more and more in our life. And I pray that God keeps you in the season of your life just a little bit longer, just so that God can shape you just that little bit more. Just so he can carve away the rough edges just that little bit smoother. We need these things to happen, saints of God. We need Jesus to shape and mold us in ways that we cannot see. And yes, there are times that we will not see the obvious. And yes, there are times where we will begin to question why. But through those times, I want you to do something. I want you to get on your knees. And I want you to call upon the name of Jesus. And you keep calling on the name of Jesus. You keep calling on the name of Jesus until you have that breakthrough to heaven. Until you feel the presence of Jesus once again in your life. And you know, I know there's a mighty big surprise awaiting me. And I say that with confidence. I know something in the end is going to blow my mind. It's going to exceed all of my expectations. And I know in that day I'm going to say, wow, I literally didn't see that coming. And you know, saints of God, there's going to come a day that you're going to have your mind blown. You know, we read about it. And it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And you know, we're going to be changed. This mortality shall put on immortality. And you know something, we're going to be forever changed in the presence of God. And the seasons that have changed us and have defined us on this planet will prepare us for what comes ahead. Won't it be so much more sweeter when we get there? Won't it be so much more beautiful when we get there? Won't we rejoice in the day when that happens, that we will see Jesus once again, that we will see Jesus, the one who died for us? If the musicians would come, I would like to close on this scripture. If you'll all stand, praise God. Jeremiah chapter 29. And we know the scripture very well. Verse 13 and 14. And you shall seek me and find me. This is God speaking. When you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations. And from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you. I don't know what happenings are going on in every person's life tonight. But God does. I don't know the range of circumstances that have come upon each and every person in the past week, the past month, the past year. But God does. I don't know what feelings have been running through this heart of yours. But God does. And God implores you tonight. And I feel by the presence of Jesus. He's saying, if you shall seek me, you shall find me. When you shall search for me with all of your heart. If you need to find Jesus tonight, he said, I will be found of you. And I ask you tonight, do you want to find Jesus? Do you want to find Jesus? Do you want Jesus to do something? Yes, you're in a season. And I honestly believe you're in a season. But God knows. God knows. Praise God. Let's just sing this song. The altar is open. Praise the Lord. Please come and seek the Lord. Search for him.